Well, that we have all of you here this morning, even though we have some new that are sick and some that have been sick for quite a while. But we're thankful that each of you is here this morning. And I must say, as Brother Sam announced, my sight is not good. I see about 300 people here. I wish. But we do appreciate the fact that you're here on a very cold morning, and the ones of us that are well are here. So we appreciate that very much. I want to mention, to introduce the lesson, that we're all sort of forgetful. If I ask you who won the Super Bowl 13 years ago, unless somebody is really a fanatic sports person, you wouldn't even begin to know. Becky might know. But we don't really remember that sort of thing. We have birthdays to help us remember how old we are. We have anniversaries to tell us how long we've been married. And all of these things are stuff that we have built into our life to help us remember things. So this morning I want to talk with you about something that happened in the Bible to help us remember things. And we'll be talking about it as first of all, since I really can't see well enough to read the small print Bible that I have, I'm going to have what our black brethren say, a reader. And that reader is Terry. So he's going to read Joshua 4, 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles and electronic pads, Joshua 4, 1 through 6. Brother Terry.
And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you?
Thank you very much. That's an Old Testament story, and you might wonder, well, what in the world does it have any meaning for us? But the question that was asked by Joshua, what do these stones mean? There's a basic understanding about that, and I would like to make an application for us today. The stones were the stones that were there by the river, and according to Joshua, the 12 tribes, each one, I tried to count these stones. I counted 11, but I think there's one on the other side. So I think there are 12, and they were made into a monument, and the question was, what do those stones mean? Well, thinking about that, first of all, they say that God is a God who delivers. You go back to the promise made to Abraham. He gave three promises to Abraham. One was that he would become the father of a mighty nation. Another, that they would inherit the promised land, and as the seed promise was that they would bless all the nations. And so this is in the process of that was offered and promised to Abraham. And then promises made to Israel or Jacob along the same line, that there would be a mighty nation and that their seed would be as many as the sand by the seashore, uncountable. And then even promises made to Moses that he was going to lead the people out to the promised land. And then after Moses was buried and unable to go into the promised land, Joshua was chosen, and he's ready now. And this was a joyous day. If you remember, they were actually entering the promised land. God kept his promises, and this is a testimony to the fact that God, even though they didn't understand all the things that happened to them, the wilderness wandering and a lot of those things, God had promised them this land that they would be given. And now then, after all their wilderness wandering and all their troubles in Egypt, They've actually come to the Jordan River, and as the priests put their feet into the water, the Jordan begins to back up on the north side and drain off on the south side, and they're able to walk over again on dry land. And this is a joyous day because they finally come to the promised land. And these stones are there, but they needed remembrance lest they would forget. Pardon me. And so many of us recognize the same sort of thing. Some people used to tie a string around their finger about something so they'd remember it. And we make little notes to ourselves, or we do different things because we recognize that people forget. Well, looking ahead to the future history of Israel, we know they forgot many times. But those stones will be there to be a reminder, and this is what they meant. And Joshua's calling this to mind. And in verse 24, he said, "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." And so this is something to remind them that they have all these blessings, as they were told, you're coming into a land with houses that you didn't build, with crops that you didn't plant, with all the things ready available to them to set up and be at home. Those things were theirs. But we know how forgetful they were and how many times they forgot about God. But this is telling us that not only Israel should remember that, but that each generation must be taught about these things. Not just Israel, all mankind needs to understand what God has done. And as you think about these things from the creation onward, God has done so many mighty things, and I try to remember in my praying sometimes to thank God for His mighty works. There's so many. We have trouble sometimes even remembering what they are. But all mankind needs to understand that. And we recognize that this was about Israel. The rule of God is universal. He's the God of everyone. Even here in Russia or America or other nations, God is their God, even though many people don't recognize that or acknowledge it. But memorials like this draw us back to God. We are forgetful. We get busy with mundane things. We get busy with work. We get busy with school. We get busy with chores that we need to do and just everyday living. And we tend to forget the spiritual things. And really the spiritual things are things that we ought to remember all the time and keep in our mind. But we do get busy. And I must add that a lot of people watch too much television, that some people are on their phones too much. And these are all things that we get caught up in that lead us away from spiritual recognition of what God has done. And so Joshua 4:21, he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers to come, what do these stones mean?" And they would always be there for a testimonial. And they meant that, as we've said, God is a God who delivers His promises. Each generation must be taught. And the difference between conviction and convenience, that's what those stones were going to mean. As Israel got prosperous, time and time again, when they were prosperous, they would forget about God. And then when things got really bad and God raised up enemies to chastise them, they would turn and be penitent. And so you see this repeated again and again during the time of the judges, just after Joshua. And the surrounding nations' influence would lead them into sin, such as Baal, and they worshipped idols. And they began to practiced immorality among those people. And the question was, is Israel going to remain faithful? Well, those stones stood there, and everybody remembered those, and it was to be a reminder. But did the stones keep them right? No. It was a memorial. It was intended to remind them, but they got so busy and so prosperous, they never thought about those again. And so they would ignore what that memorial was for. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, which is a part of the law, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And that was the command to God with regard to the parents in Israel, what they were to do to pass on this information. Now the memorial would help them remember that. But evidently the parents were not faithful in doing that, and I must say that we as parents today and grandparents might not have been as diligent with our children and grandchildren as we should have. But we have things to remind us of this as well, and we need to recognize that instruction about God, remembering about God, is so important in our lives today because we have so many things that pull us away. But again, he talked about in times to come. In times to come, there's to be some understanding that they're going to be in the promised land as long as they're faithful. And so in times to come, this meant they have a future. But at the same time, in Romans 15 and verse 4, we're to be reminded of the things of the past. Those things are put there for us to learn from. And we think about the Old Testament, and we recognize that that's there for our learning and for our admonition. And we're to remember these things. So it has an application to us. It's not just about Israel, not just about the stones that the 12 men erected into a monument. And it's something really far greater than that. And that is that we have to remember these things to keep us faithful. And so we're looking at this from the standpoint of sort of filling in the blank. What has God given to us to help us have a memorial and to remember things and keep us faithful? But what does the Bible mean to you? That's what the children were to ask. What do these stones mean? Well, what does the Bible mean? And I believe all of us here would say today that it's a wonderful guide. It's a light to our pathway. And as we think about these things, we treasure the Bible. I think we treasure the Bible above the 12 stones that Israel had. They were just a physical monument. But the Bible is the Word of God that's been given to us. And of all the people of the world who are taking advantage of the Bible, I think we are. We're interested in the Bible. We have not forgotten the Word of God. It leads us. It guides us. So we can say with a surety that yes, the Bible means something to us today. But what about baptism? It's not simply a rite, a ritual of the church. It is something that is done to remind us. And as we preach the gospel of Christ and we talk about believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, baptism is its own kind of memorial. Because when you see someone being baptized, they are reenacting the very thing that Jesus did, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So baptism becomes an important memorial every time someone is baptized. It's not just a ritual of the church. We understand it's the means by which the blood of Christ is applied to the sinner. And as someone is baptized in Jesus Christ, they are reenacting what Jesus did on the cross. So it is a real memorial, and we use that sometimes to remind us of that. But then the Lord's Supper, as we have observed it this morning, is indeed a memorial that takes us back to the cross. And teaching the Corinthians about that, they were told that when they interrupted the Lord's Supper with a common meal, that it really, they were not able to take the Lord's Supper. They were not remembering it correctly. Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you don't discern the body and the blood of Christ, you haven't taken the Lord's Supper properly. Well, why do we remember the body and the blood of Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. And when you recognize that Jesus died on the cross, and this bread is a memorial of his body, and the blood that was shed on the cross, this fruit of the vine is a memorial of the blood that he shed, every one of us in our mind goes back to the cross. It's doing today what God intended for it to do. And it's a wonderful memorial. And I can look back and I can see some of the children of Israel saying, "What do these stones mean? Have you not heard a child to the parent or grandparent say in the church, 'What do those crackers mean? What does that bread mean? You're eating and I'm not. What is so important about grape juice?'" And I've often seen children cry because mother's taking some grape juice and I can't have any. But they don't understand. And the Bible warns us that when you take the Lord's Supper, you must discern the body and the blood of Christ. Had a lady in Florida that I rented from who became a Christian just before we met her. And she came out of denominational church. She was wondering why children didn't take the Lord's Supper, because she said it did over in the community church that she was a member. All the children did that. Well, I taught her about discerning the body and the blood of Christ. If you don't, you eat unworthily, and you eat and drink condemnation. And so a child cannot properly understand that, and it's reserved for people in the kingdom. Jesus said, "I'll take and eat this with you in the kingdom." And that's exactly what that's for. So this morning we have a wonderful memorial that takes us back to the cross of Calvary. We see the suffering of Jesus. In our eye, we think about him being whipped. And I know each of you approaches it in your own way as you take the bread. But you think about the suffering that Jesus endured, and it helps us glorify God. Then we think about the blood that was shed and the cup that we drink. And that is something that brings our mind back. And I think there's nothing except maybe singing that unifies our thinking any more than what the Lord's Supper does. We're all thinking about Christ. We're all thinking about his death. And so when the children of Israel would ask, "What do these stones mean?" And our children ask, "What does this Lord's Supper mean?" It gives an opportunity for teaching, but it's a memorial to us who are Christians that all this has been done on our behalf. And so when you look at this and understand it, they mean that God is a God who delivers his promises. He always has, he always will. And I want to mention that I haven't done this before, but I look at the internet many times for sermons like this. And I find something that I think is worthy, and then I'll adapt it, making it my own by adding to or taking from some things. So I haven't invented this sermon or haven't done all the work on it, but it certainly is something that we can learn from. So we learn that each generation must be taught. And that was true in Israel, and that's true today. The sad thing about our day is that we've lost an entire generation. We have lost what the world calls the millennials. We've lost the college age. We've lost the high school. In many cases, we've even lost the grade school. And somehow, in the process of teaching our friends and neighbors, we need to learn how to use a memorial to bring to their mind what's been done. We recognize that these memorials have a future. We have memorials. We think about the Lord's Day. And personally, I count, you know, you get in the hospital or you're busy with your work week and you forget what day it is. I mark my week by Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm preparing for the next Wednesday. I'm preparing for the next Sunday. And those are memorials to me. Help me remember what the real purpose of life is. And the purpose of life is not just to get up on Monday and go to work and then have the weekend free and then start with Monday all over again. It's the idea that Sunday and Wednesday to us are important because we are able to study the Bible and to make use of these things. And so do we really use them to help us to be faithful? Speaking for this congregation, yes, I think we do. I wish more would. I wish we could reach more. There's a constant frustration in my life because we cannot have the kind of Bible studies I'm used to having and have had in the past. I recognize the world has changed around me. It's different from anything I've ever known. It's different in the sense that so many people are not interested in religion anymore. That's very frustrating. I know it's frustrating for you as a Christian, as a relative. And so as we have opportunity, not just for ourselves, we remember the memorial of the Lord's Supper. We use the Bible as a memorial about God and learning and all of these things. But I'm sad to say the world is not listening. Our job is to keep on. Our job is not to give up. Our job is to try to reach out to people who haven't learned all these things yet. How good it would be if I would be approached by somebody and said, you know, Israel put up 12 stones. What do those stones mean? Oh boy, that'd be a great thing to hear somebody interested in the Bible. But it's also good to say, now, what is this Lord's Supper that you people do? I'd love to describe that, how it's connected to the blood of Christ and how the blood of Christ is connected to baptism and bring people into the Lord's church. But these things are ours today. We certainly hope and pray that we'll use them and continue faithful. When I look back at Israel and I see through the book of Judges how often they fell away, I understand that God must have been so frustrated. Later, he is said to divorce them. He divorced Israel. He divorced Judah and sent them off into captivity because they didn't learn from the memorials. So every day that we think about these things, they are a memorial to help us to be faithful. Let's hold on to these things and to recognize and realize God put them there for a purpose. He wants us to be in our Sunday assemblies. He wants us to study the Bible as we do on Wednesday night. He wants us to take the Lord's Supper because it takes us back to the cross, the great sacrifice that Jesus made. So if you're here this morning and you listen to these memorials and they guide you in such a way that you want to obey the gospel of Christ, we're always willing to help. If you have questions about the service or if you have questions about what we teach, we're always ready to have a Bible study because that's the way that we connect to God. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the gospel in any way, invite you forward as we stand together and as we sing.